Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the History AI Podcast, where the past comes alive with facts, anecdotes, and a dash of humor. Here are your hosts, Chuck and Marco.
Hey folks, welcome back to the History AI Podcast, where Cold War secrets, ancient plots, and weird historical side quests are just another Tuesday. I'm Chuck.
And I'm Marco. And today's story, it's a good one. Imagine stealing a spaceship. Not in some sci-fi galaxy far, far away, but in real life, with real spies, and no lasers, just lockpicks and paperwork.
Yeah, this is one of those Cold War stories that feels like it has to be fiction, but it's not. We're diving into the Lunik plot, aka the CIA's overnight joyride with a Soviet lunar probe. It's espionage, it's engineering, it's petty theft, but like more patriotic.
Before we crack that crate open, if you're new here, or if you've been riding with us for a while and just haven't gotten around to it, take a second and hit that subscribe button.
And leave us a 5-star review while you're at it. It really helps more people discover the show, and frankly, it makes us feel like heroes of our own little podcast space race.
Exactly. 5 stars equals rocket fuel. All right, onward to one of the greatest heists in the history of spacecraft.
Let's do it.
All right, before we get to the part where spies are sneaking into warehouses and cracking open Soviet space crates, we've got to lay some groundwork. Because this story doesn't make sense unless you understand just how paranoid and high stakes the world was in the late 1950s.
Totally. This is post-World War II. The Cold War is in full swing. Two global superpowers, America and the Soviet Union, locked in a battle not just of weapons, but of ideologies. Capitalism versus communism. Freedom fries versus borscht.
And then, bam, 1957 happens. The Soviets launch Sputnik, the first artificial satellite to orbit Earth. Suddenly, a shiny metal ball beeping overhead becomes the symbol of Soviet technological dominance. The US freaks out.
And rightfully so. Because if they can launch a satellite, they might be able to launch a nuclear warhead into your backyard. The message wasn't subtle.
The US government goes into panic mode. Defense budgets balloon. Schools start drilling kids for atomic attacks. And from that chaos, NASA is born in 1958, America's answer to Soviet space supremacy.
But while NASA was getting off the ground, literally, the Soviets just kept winning. They launched Luna 1, the first human-made object to escape Earth's gravity and approach the moon. It missed, but just barely. Then came Luna 2, which crashed into the moon and became the first man-made object to ever make contact with it.
And then there's Luna 3, the real showstopper. It flew around the moon and sent back the very first photos of the far side. No one had ever seen that half of the moon before, not even through a telescope. And here's the kicker, the photos came from a fully automated film developing system in space.
Insane. Every time the Soviets pulled off a first, it wasn't just a scientific victory. It was propaganda gold. The world was watching, and the message was clear, the USSR was ahead.
And the US intelligence community? They were desperate for insight. They had radar data, maybe some blurry launch footage, but no real idea how the Soviets were pulling this off. How advanced were their rockets? What kind of materials were they using? Were they bluffing? Or were they really just that good?
Then something weird happens. The Soviets start showing off these spacecraft in public exhibitions, like science fairs with military-grade hardware. Luna probes, on tour across Europe, packed in giant crates, loaded on trains, heading from one city to another.
And that's when the CIA starts wondering, wait a second, are those really just models they're showing off? Or is there actual working tech in those crates?
Because if there is, and if you could somehow borrow one for a night, take a few pictures, maybe pop off a component or two, without the Soviets noticing, you'd be holding a goldmine of intelligence.
And that, dear listeners, is exactly what the CIA decided to do.
So, now we've got this high-stakes Cold War pressure cooker, and the Soviets are parading their spacecraft across Europe. The CIA's watching closely, and when they catch wind that one of the Lunik probes is being transported from one exhibition to the next, on a truck, in a crate, they see an opening.
And I love how bonkers this plan sounds. This wasn't some elite Black Ops commando unit rappelling out of helicopters. This was more like a group of engineers, analysts, and logistics experts pulling off a Cold War space-themed Ocean's 11.
It starts with surveillance. The CIA tracks the transport schedule of the Soviet exhibition team. They find out the Lunik crate is going to be stored overnight at a customs warehouse, alone, unguarded, just sitting there between exhibitions.
Which is kind of wild, right? You'd think the Soviets would have armed guards, dogs, maybe even some angry KGB guys watching over their spacecraft. But nope. It's just parked there like it's waiting for Amazon pickup.
So the CIA mobilizes a team. And here's where it gets surgical. They don't just show up with a crowbar and a flashlight. This is precision work. First, they arrange for a look-alike truck to intercept the original Soviet transport crate. Basically a quiet swap, one truck goes out, another comes in, nobody notices.
Then they bring the crate to a secure location nearby, could have been a garage, a warehouse, a military base, we still don't know exactly where. What we do know is they had a tight window. Just one night. Maybe 8 to 10 hours to do what needed to be done.
And inside that crate? It was a Luna probe, a real one and not a mock-up. This thing had the authentic framework, actual Soviet components, even traces of propellant residue. It was the engineering equivalent of discovering an enemy's playbook, right there, ready to be studied.
The team goes to work. They open the crate carefully, making sure to leave no marks. They document every piece of hardware, every strut, connector, bracket. They take high-resolution photos. They measure wiring, look for serial numbers, study paint composition. It's a technical autopsy.
They even disassembled parts of the probe, removed fasteners, examined electronics. But here's the key, they weren't allowed to damage anything. Everything had to go back in exactly the same place, looking untouched.
Think about that. You've got a team of people, under insane time pressure, taking apart Cold War rocket tech by hand, and then reassembling it down to the screw so perfectly that the Soviets don't notice.
By dawn, the CIA finishes the job. They recreate the Lunik, wipe down any fingerprints, close the container, and quietly return it to the transport route. The Soviets never find out. The exhibit continues to the next city. The world goes on.
And no alarms go off, there was no diplomatic incident and no KGB goons kicking in hotel doors. Just business as usual. It was one of the cleanest, most successful intelligence grabs of the entire Cold War.
And to this day, most people have never even heard of it. But for the US intelligence community, it was a treasure trove, revealing how the Soviets were thinking, building, and pacing their space program.
And it all happened in one night. No lasers, no car chases, no shootouts, just quiet, methodical, brilliant spycraft. So the CIA pulls off this perfect heist, gets a good look at Soviet hardware, then slips the probe back into place like nothing happened. But let's talk about the why. Why go through all this trouble? What did they really gain?
Well, first off, let's put it in context. At this point, the US was flying blind when it came to Soviet space tech. They could see launches. They could track satellites. But what they couldn't do was understand how the Soviets were building these things. What kinds of materials were they using? How advanced was their avionics? What were their limitations?
And remember, this wasn't just curiosity. This was national security. Because if the Soviets had rocketry this sophisticated, that meant they had the capability to launch intercontinental ballistic missiles, ICBMs. And the same tech that got a probe to the moon could, in theory, carry a nuclear warhead to Washington, D.C.
So the intel gathered from the Lunik operation helped U.S. defense analysts and engineers in multiple ways. First, they learned about the construction techniques. Soviet engineering was rugged, often simpler than American designs, but highly effective. The spacecraft was built to survive intense forces and harsh conditions with minimal parts that could fail.
They also got insight into Soviet manufacturing. By examining components, wiring, fasteners, paint, and insulation, they could identify the kinds of factories and supply chains being used. That helped US analysts estimate how many spacecraft the USSR could produce, and not just what they had produced.
One of the biggest revelations? The Soviets were incredibly good at adapting existing military tech for space use. The probe showed signs of missile-related engineering, which told the CIA that the Soviets were essentially piggybacking their space program onto their missile program. That's a huge clue for anyone trying to predict what they might do next.
And even subtle details mattered. For instance, if the team found signs of thermal shielding, they could infer how the Soviets managed heat on re-entry. If they found specific types of control valves, they could guess at propulsion systems or fuel types. It wasn't one big secret, it was 1,000 small ones that added up to a much clearer picture.
This information wasn't just useful for NASA or space nerds. It shaped how the US approached missile defense, satellite tracking, and strategic planning. It gave the Pentagon a better sense of how quickly the Soviets could launch, how reliable their systems were, and whether they were bluffing about certain capabilities.
It also helped level the playing field in the psychological war. Because let's be honest, up until that point, the Soviets had been killing it with firsts: first satellite, first probe near the moon, first lunar impact, first pictures of the far side. The US public was starting to feel like we were always behind.
But the Lunik intel gave US leaders a shot of confidence. Not only did they understand the technology better, they realized the Soviets weren't magicians. Their systems had limitations, and now the US knew what some of those were.
It didn't stop the space race. But it changed the rules. Suddenly, the US could respond with more precision. And it wasn't long after that America started making its own space headlines: Mercury missions, Gemini, and eventually Apollo.
And all of that momentum? It had roots in nights like this, nights when the US got just enough of a peek behind the Iron Curtain to feel like they could catch up. And that, folks, is the story of the Lunik plot, possibly the quietest, cleanest, most successful space heist in Cold War history.
No alarms, no gunfights, just one night, one probe, and a group of very smart people in very quiet shoes opening the hood on Soviet space tech.
It's a perfect example of how so many turning points in history don't happen in front of cameras or on launch pads. They happen behind warehouse doors, under pressure, in total silence.
And it also shows how intelligence work shaped the space race as much as science did. Sometimes, knowing what your rival can't do is just as important as knowing what they can.
If this is your first time with us, welcome to the rabbit hole. Every episode of the History AI podcast is evergreen, meaning you can jump in any time and still get the full story. Whether you're binging from the beginning or just popping in for space intrigue, we've got you covered.
And if you enjoyed this dive into Cold War Cloak and Dagger, do us a huge favor, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. It really helps other curious minds find the show.
Seriously, it takes 30 seconds and means the world to us. 5 stars is like rocket fuel, we run on it.
Also, big shout out to everyone who's been grabbing our new merch. Yes, the mugs do make coffee taste 30% more historical. You can find the link in the show notes.
And if you've got a story you want us to cover, some forgotten caper, mysterious disappearance, or unsolved slice of history, hit us up on social media. We love hearing from you.
All right, that's it for today. From lunar heists to Cold War chess matches, we'll be back next week with another story from the shadows of history.
Until then, I'm Chuck.
And I'm Marco. Thanks for listening to the History AI podcast.
Mexico City station, bound Soviet guards, nowhere in sight. secret haste. By 4 a.m., they're out the gate. By dawn, Soviets wrong-footed by fate. Hey! We borrow the looting for one bold night. Snap those secrets undercover, left no sign. We crack the code, left no fight. Hey! We borrow the looting, nail that midnight flight. Snap, precision film flashed. Cuban spies, this was top grade. We learned its mass, weight, engine plans. Soviet tech laid. Crate back intact, mystery sealed tight. Mission complete in the dead of night. 20-foot crate, 14-foot lid. Bolt mark stamp, nothing hid. Metric wrenches, drop light beam. Factory stamps confirm the scheme. Ghosts in socks, ropes.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.